Just saying.
It's about, well, I mean, if you get a spring tide, but the average tide's only about 11 inches.
So it's a no wake?
Yeah, well, no wake,
Put Southern Soul there?
I'm thinking about it. I hadn't been in it in a year. I told you, I sent you a picture of that boat, $10,000 for.
Yeah, with everything else I got going on, Dick.
Let's go for it.
I want it, there just be another boat that sits there, don't have time to touch.
Well, you ain't allowed to have that many boats in.
My watch isn't really fast looking.
But I should be, they should be done. I'm gonna head back, I'm gonna be here about 3 weeks and then head back, 3 to 4 weeks. I gotta be back there around the first of August.
What happens to your current house over there?
It's up for sale right now.
Would it rent good or do you?
I wouldn't wanna rent it because it's.
I wouldn't want the hassle, the responsibility.
I've just, it's, because it's not an expensive house, you know? And I don't think you get the right people in there to, you know? I'd be afraid of, more afraid of it in the school.
The meeting will come to order. Today is June 29th, 2018, and the time is 5:30 PM. This meeting is being recorded on this recording device up here, so we'll do our best to make sure we capture everything that's being said this evening. We're here tonight because there's a new AV system going into the city council chambers. So welcome to the City of St. Mary's Planning Commission special call meeting. The regularly scheduled meeting last week was canceled due to a lack of a quorum. So thank you to everybody for being here on a Friday night for us to work through this agenda. So we'll start off the assistant secretary. We have a quorum as well. So the assistant secretary provided the draft meeting minutes from the June 14th special call meeting. And are there any corrections to the meeting minutes as distributed? Okay, so, and that is, if there's no corrections,
I'll make a motion with approval.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, and approved? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so that stands. There's no old business on the agenda, so the next order of business is an application for 111 Davis Street, requesting a special use permit to allow for outdoor vehicle sales at 4360 Highway 40 East. The property is zoned C2. Tax parcel 135003. Would the Community Development Department give a, staff report?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead. All right, so I'm sorry, I'm gonna be informal and address you as Philip because I'm going to butcher your last name if I try it. I apologize. So Mr. Philip is applying for a special use permit to allow for used car sales outdoor. In his application, he stated that he will have approximately 3 to 4 cars on the property at a time. And I understand this to be kind of a temporary situation for you as you transition your building business from one location to another.
Yes, ma'am.
So in the analysis that staff did for this application, the only issue we really see is regards to parking, meeting current parking standards, and largely that's due to the fact that the parking's not lined in the parking lot currently. So staff recommends approval of special use upon the condition that the cars for sale on the property do not interfere with the current parking requirements, which are 11 spaces of 10 feet by 18 feet in size, and one handicapped van accessible parking space for a total of 12 parking spaces. In addition, the lot would need to be striped in accordance with the city's requirements and the state's requirements for handicapped parking. The current conditions of the parking lot make it impossible to determine exactly how many spaces are there currently.
Okay. Is this your application? Would you like to speak on it? And would you say your name, full name, and your address?
My name is Philip Pohoreski, and I live at 111 Davis Street, St. Mary's.
Okay.
And basically, like she had stated, it's just going to be a temporary thing. I'm renting a location in Kingsland, and I'm trying to buy my own place to open a dealership. And I basically, you have to be a commercial property to keep your license, and I just want to set up there so I can keep my license while I'm trying to transition into a new building and stuff. So I stated 3 or 4 cars, but I don't plan on parking many, maybe 2 or 3 at the max, honestly. And yes, ma'am, just be temporary. Just trying to keep my license while I transition into a new building.
Okay. And is there anyone from the public who would like to
speak? I'd like to make a comment. My name is Philip Jones, 201 Catherine Street. I understand what the gentleman's trying to do, and I think it's, you know, good. And but I don't see why you need to, you know, task him to put lines on the parking lot and meet all these parking standards when there's small car lots up the street. Discount Auto by the auto parts place that aren't lined. They're not, and they don't have adequate parking, you know, for all the parking available. I mean, half the time you pull in there, you risk hitting another car. So, you know, there again, it's lack of enforcement and regulations. This guy's going to be in a temporary, you know, situation, and all it's doing is putting a burden on him, you know, when we're not enforcing the existing standards.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Discussion among the commissioners?
My only question was, so as I read this, there are minimum parking spaces, and your write-up is saying that the current parking appears to provide that. But does that provide that plus the parking for the cars that would be for sale? So would we normally, as part of this, say that you need whatever your merchandising plus you need parking spots, or would that allow you normally under this to use that for merchandising?
To be perfectly honest, it's unusual that we get an application like this. It is not unusual when we do get an application like this that we can't make a determination if there's not aligned parking spaces in order to determine what's in there and what can be provided.
Right.
This is the minimal amount of parking based on the uses in the building. There's a couple of different uses, a church, a hair salon, and some other things. This isn't unusual at all. But it's an unusual request that you would have a special use permit to allow for use car parking lot on a multi-tenant building. That's unusual.
Right.
I have not seen that many times in my career.
Have we heard from anybody else in the tenant that's a tenant of the building? Of any feedback? Okay, I guess that would have been provided. And then is there a reason why it was noted that there's no entrance or exit marking to the parking area?
Just because it's a narrow entrance.
It's a very small lot.
Okay. So I tend to think that, I mean, I support the wanting to have a business. I understand the lines from the standpoint of there's not there. And what Mr. Jones mentioned about not having other places, but he also said risk hitting another car, so maybe that is a safety concern. I'm not totally hung up on it, but I would want to make sure that just because it is a narrow lot, that none of the merchandise would be in the way of the flow of traffic or parking for anybody else in the tenant. That's a tenant for that building, of course.
I actually own the building, and those are my tenants that are next door.
Okay.
And I've explained to them that I'm not going to block up the parking lot with my cars and stuff. Like I said, it's temporary, and I'm not going to interfere with their business. They're obviously my tenants, so I want to keep them happy.
Yeah.
And I'm also trying to expand the parking lot into the back area. There's a tree that hangs over. When the hurricane came in, it blew a lot of branches and stuff, and it looks real dangerous. So I'm actually going to try to get that tree removed and extend the parking lot in the back as well for my tenants and stuff,
okay,
even for when I move out.
Okay, thank you.
So they can have more parking.
Any further?
The only question I have is with the requirements that you folks have for number of spaces, how do we know that the parking area there is sufficient to accommodate his need to park 3 or 4 vehicles there
That was our concern. It's difficult for us to evaluate whether he can even fit the current, the minimum requirements of parking on here because it's not striped. So we have certain dimensions. I believe our dimensions are 10 by 18 for a parking space, and then you would have to have, as per the state, one required handicap parking space with van accessible. So that's in addition to the parking spaces. So there's no way for us to really determine.
So how do we vote for approval of something we don't know if it meets the criteria?
So my understanding from the write-up was that there was space, that the staff felt there was space available for it, even though it's not marked, is how I read it. So I was reading that there was adequate space, just it's not marked, is how it's written in the report.
I think if there is adequate space, it's going to be super, super tight.
Yeah.
And he would barely meet the minimum.
And who monitors?
In my opinion.
And you mentioned about the required handicap space for the state of Georgia. Who monitors that? That's not...
So, well, the state of Georgia has recommendations, and it's one space, it's one handicap space for 1 to 25 spaces, and it's on a sliding scale. So if you're, all businesses are supposed to have, so depending on the minimum amount of parking, so many handicap van accessible spaces are supposed to be provided. That's a state regulation.
But who enforces the striping in the required
the
spaces?
The building department.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would happen if we approve it? Because don't get me wrong, I'm not against it. But what happens if we approve it and it turns out that it's simply not feasible despite the owner's best efforts to make it work? What is the next step then?
So, Philip, you might be able to answer. Are all of the units currently rented out?
They are, but the two sides, the middle one's not. And the one, the church, they're only there on Sundays, and they have, you know, just a little bit of members, so they need barely any parking. But I'm also, like, before I was trying to get this special use, I was already trying to extend the parking because I knew that would be the problem in the future if I ever tried to get a bigger business in there. So I was already looking into expanding the parking and stuff.
When we approve a special use, I'm assuming that stays in place.
It does.
Can we...
Under the current code, it's a special use. It doesn't change the zoning. It just says that particular parcel is allowed a special use for a specific thing.
Which would be grandfathered in if a proposed code is written how it is.
Well, it would be
recommended
code,
and approved by city council.
Okay.
So I guess my question is there, and I want to be able to accommodate this also, but I guess I'm concerned, a little concerned long term, on this. Is there a way for us to grant a special use permit for some period of time, which would then require him to come back for that to be re-reviewed, which would also give him time to either expand parking or not need that?
I mean, you can set any stipulations or conditions upon the special use that you would like to. And if that's a condition or a special use that you would like to set on the property, then that's absolutely allowed.
Okay. Wiley,
you're saying it's temporary, right?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean by temporary?
Maybe no more than 6 months, probably less. I would say just at the max 6. I'm not even trying to stay there that long. Just if things took a little longer, getting a building and then getting it set up and stuff. So, and like I said, I'm not trying to cram a bunch of eyesores out there. I understand everybody doesn't want to drive by and see that. And if you made it only 2 cars I can have out there, that'd be fine. I really, the agenda I'm trying to get is so I can keep my license while I'm trying to transition.
So I guess I'm wondering if we maybe approve this with a stipulation of a 1-year term on this, and so that if the condition for needing that special use continued, that you'd be required to come back, and at that point we could have, you know, push a little harder because of this issue of, are we going to long-term perhaps have an issue?
It was difficult for us to evaluate this application. We were trying to accommodate the applicant as much as we possibly could, and there was no other way for us to evaluate it
right.
than the way that we did. And it does seem somewhat ambiguous, but it's the only way that we could really evaluate it.
Under the present zoning orders,
yes, sir.
The ones in effect now,
yes, sir.
A special use permit had to be renewed annually, right?
Mm-hmm. Annually.
Okay.
Well, there's an annual, wait. There's an annual, there's an annual fee that has to be paid to renew the, it's a $75 fee that has to be paid on an annual basis to renew the special use permit. So that would be
that
one.
That would be due on January the 1st.
I would still feel comfortable because we are working with the current code, that we work within the current code. And if right now we're looking at, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
The renewal fee is due in July, so the collection of the fees for the special use is always July. So it's a fiscal year, not a calendar year.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we do it now, he's got to next July.
Correct.
So was that a motion?
Yes. So I make a motion that we approve the special use with a conditional term of 1 year. Anything exceeding 1 year, he'd be required to come back and re-request this.
So it's a conditional term of 1 year on the special use?
Yeah, that's what I said.
And
yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's good.
But to clarify, no. and the park, as long as he meets the parking, we're not even dealing with the parking, it's just a 1 year thing. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes. All right, so next we are going to look at a rezone for Clyde Chapman. He's requesting rezoning of property along Coleraine Road from C2 to R3. The property is zoned C2, tax parcel ID 120031. Can we get a staff report?
Sure. So Mr. Chapman is actually going to be represented today by Lee Harrell, his realtor. And the property located on Coleraine Road is he wants to rezone from C2 to R3. So it's going from a commercial district to a medium to high density residential district. And my understanding is that he would like to sell the property in the future, and he believes that that would be more appealing to the potential buyer. According to our future land use map, which is in our master plan for the city of St. Mary's, the property is designated to be a developing residential area, so this fits with the master plan's foreseeing of this parcel. And it fits in with the adjacent property zoned C2, R3, and PD. And of course, there's some unincorporated adjacent to that as well. So staff recommends approval of the rezoning.
And you're the representative.
Yes.
Can you say your name and your address?
Yes, Lee Harrell, 122 Osborne Street.
And did you want to speak on
application? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, we would. Yeah, we request that the current zoning of C2 be moved to R3 for a prospective buyer. We feel that it would be more marketable that way.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody from the public that would like to speak? Okay. Can you say your name and your address?
Billy, B-I-L-L-Y, Brandt, B-R-A-N-T.
Okay.
I represent Lakewood Baptist Church. It's right across the street. We have no problem at all with the rezoning of the property.
Okay.
We're fine.
Okay. Can you say do you know the address of Lakewood Baptist?
I do if I look at it.
Okay.
9287.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to. Oh, sure.
I might as well.
Okay.
Brian Strickland.
Okay.
I'm here on behalf of St. Mary's Church. We own the adjacent property.
Okay.
And that was just to. We were concerned about what the intentions were other than rezoning, you know, somewhat of a timeline, possibly. Our timeline currently, we're looking to build in the near future adjacent to that. And, you know, if it was going to be low-income homes or something of that statue, it was obviously a concern as far as property value perspective. Residential, normal residential property, fences, gates, any of that, you know, that may be a concern. Also in the near future. And that's pretty much all we've got right now to go on about.
Okay, and do you know the address of the church?
No,
if you don't, that's
right,
fine.
Ma'am.
Okay. Is there any idea of the area itself? I don't know what all the regulations are into. What are you talking about?
There's
Section
no,
8 housing?
Yes, ma'am.
Of Section 8 housing, is it?
There's no residential component in that particular district in C2.
It's going to go to R3.
So, well, any plans for development would have to come before the Planning Commission at a plat for something like that.
Okay.
So it would.
I can tell you we don't have anything to do with affordable housing. That's done through Housing and Urban Development in that regard. The City of St. Mary's does not have a affordable housing component. I can tell you what's in the R3 district, if that'll help.
I was just wondering, just for the concern of what housing would be there, if there was any certain map identification of where housing could go that may answer, or, you know, whether it's even a possibility or not, but it doesn't sound like that's an option. Okay. Discussion with the board.
Are there any plans to develop the property, bring in infrastructure or anything prior to putting it on the market, or just sell
no, no,
it
no,
as,
we're not,
as
no,
is?
No, yeah, as is, yeah.
Well, I know that Coleraine Road is getting ready, it's under construction right now to be a main four-lane road. And I don't know, I'm not sure about changing it from commercial to residential. I don't, the land use plan might cause that, but it was all zoned commercial several years ago when it was annexed into the city. And just with nothing in the books, other than just trying to sell it, I'm just not sure if we want to change the zoning.
So my understanding is that the zoning that's being proposed is one that meets the master plan concept for that corridor.
One of the things that we have to look at when we're looking at whether a rezone is not considered spot zoning is that it is in compliance with the comprehensive plan and the city's master plan, which is
a thoughtful extension of existing or the what we would like for it to be.
I'd feel more comfortable with more than just hope to sell it.
And for me, it's not about selling it. It's about meeting the city's future goals for that corridor, which that does, regardless of who owns the property or sells it.
I understand that. There's also a lot of R3 property in this city that's vacant. There's also multifamily that people that zoned many years ago with the prospect of trying to sell it, and it's still vacant.
If I may, the use of the property really should not be one of the criteria of the decision for the Planning Commission. It really should just be based on whether it fits in with a comprehensive plan, if it's not considered spot zoning, but the applicant is not required to really divulge a use during the rezoning process. That really comes through to the site plan process. It's just a courtesy that they offer it, but I'm not so sure that that should really be part of the criteria to decide on it or not.
And as I understand this, we have adjacent properties that are currently zoned
R3.
MPD. We do?
Yes,
sir. So it would be just an extension of what's already there.
So it allows for single family, two family dwellings, three family dwellings, boarding houses, and accessory uses and structures. Special use permit for a couple of things, nursing homes. It's actually what you would consider a down zoning from a C2 to a less dense or a less intense use. So it would really be called a down zoning.
I guess I don't see anything under our criteria here that you could point a finger to and say it doesn't line up with our criteria for approving this.
I'll make the motion we approve it to.
Yeah, I apologize. I didn't close public comment. But, okay, so motion to approve from Wiley. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, well, we're going to look at number 4 on the agenda. Mark Ross is requesting a rezoning of parcels located along St. Mary's Road and Coleraine Road from C2 and R3. To PD. The properties are zoned C2 and R3 tax parcels, and then there's quite a few listed. So would you give a staff report, please?
The proposed, in 2006, the applicant came forward with an application rezone for a particular site plan. Some of the wrong parcel numbers were added as part of that site plan, as in the advertisement, as well as the ordinance for the PD zoning. So this is a correction to come back and have the additional parcels rezoned to meet the PD zoning. We advertised, we went out just like it was a new rezoning so we could receive public comment. We've received absolutely no public comment on it. And of course staff recommends approval. So this is really an administrative adjustment, and then it is also but we treated it like it was a fresh rezone, just so we could make sure that public comment was covered.
Which will do the same here.
Correct.
And so is there anybody representing Mr. Ross? Or
Mr. Ross. That would be me.
Okay, would you say your full name and your address?
Mark Ross, 3967 Oak Street, Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
32205. I also have Chad Grimm, our planner, and he was the planner who did it initially. And he's been with us all throughout the whole process. So. Yeah.
Chad Grimm, 4206 Harbor Island Drive, Jacksonville, Florida. The description was accurate, so we're here for questions or discussion.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody from the public who would like to make a comment? So, we'll throw it to the board.
I'm familiar with the project initially.
Oh, yeah.
I was involved in it.
You were. So we're excited to have it bringing coming back to life after a very slow...
I was glad to see it back in the work.
Right, so we're excited to have it.
So I make a motion we approve.
Okay. Second.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes.
Appreciate that, guys.
Yeah. Okay, so we're on agenda item number 5, which is a variance. Thomas Slimkowski, 103 Weed Street, West Weed Street, St. Mary's, is requesting a variance to reduce the side setback to 0 feet on the property, which is zoned C1. And could we get a staff report?
Sure. So Mr. Slimkowski's property is located in the historic district. According to the tax assessor's website, this is a 1940s house. And the lot currently is considered undersized by our current zoning standards at approximately 7,200 square feet, and our standards are 10,000 square feet currently. It is also kind of an odd placement of the driveway on this lot, as it sits to the left of the house all the way against the eastern border. So it runs right up against the lot line. And Mr. Slimkowski was trying to be a good citizen and rebuild his carport, which was dilapidated. And in doing so, he demolished the entire structure. And unfortunately, our code enforcement officer found out. And so he was... being a good gentleman, and he informed us of this. So now we have to have, because it is new construction at this point, it is no longer repair and replace, we have to get a variance because it has to come into compliance under our current code. So Mr. Slimkowski is requesting this reduction to a 0-foot setback. Currently in this district, as this house is a single family dwelling in a C1 district, that side setback is 5 feet for a single story house. So it's just a 5-foot change, and he is also, it's worth noting, he has applied for a certificate of appropriateness with the Historic Preservation Commission, which will be heard following a decision on the variance. Staff recommends approval upon the condition that HPC also approves the certificate of appropriateness, or those two in hand before construction begins.
Thank you. Is Mr. Slimkowski here? Would you like to speak?
No, I think Morgan did a fine job.
Okay.
Yeah, I live in Richmond, Virginia. This was my grandparents' house, and I've been reluctant to do anything because kind of emotional attachment, so it's been about 6 years. But the hurricane really damaged the carport, and I wasn't aware that you do board-for-board replacement. It just was unsafe, so I tore it down and started to rebuild, and I was stopped, so I'm just really trying to replace what was there. I've asked the church. They don't mind. The neighbors, all my neighbors around me, nobody cares, especially the one where I'm right next to. They gave us permission 20 years ago. I remember helping build. And then also I re-asked them again, and everybody seemed to be good with it. So I'm sorry I didn't follow the procedure. I just was unaware of it, but I'm really just trying to replace what was already there.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public that would like to comment?
And so is the footprint of the replacement the same footprint as what was torn down?
Yes, sir. What it is if you look at the slope of the driveway, the city actually built the ramp to, the driveway. It's right there, but the zero line is right on the edge of it.
Right.
So my grandparents had brick all that, so all that is still there. And I really just took the post out and put another post in. So it's exactly where it was.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
I think it seems like a natural thing to do.
I believe it's older than 1940 house.
Pardon me, sir?
I believe it's older than 1940 house.
I'm not positive, but I believe it's right in that area. All I can tell you is it was the house nobody wanted. Because there was an article in the paper about it. Pardon me, sir?
It used to be a funeral home.
I don't know what it was in the past. I talked to the neighbors in front.
Weed Street was the first street paved in St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm. I know there was generators there. The first generators were
Weed Street was the first street paved in St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. And from that house to the funeral home, and your last ride was down to Page Street to Oak Grove Cemetery.
Maybe that's why I don't like sleeping there.
Okay.
I wish you wouldn't have told me that. Yeah. That's good. Thank you.
I'd make a motion that we approve.
I'm sorry. We'll close the public comment. I was just going to make a reminder before we go on to the board discussion that I didn't think we had to actually add the HPC piece to it because I was understanding that that was required if you're in the historic district, regardless of whether we say it's conditional or not. I thought we had determined that before, so I don't think we need to have, I'm just mentioning it because it was recommended, but I don't think we need to do it, so I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's good. So I make a motion, we approve.
A second.
Yeah, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Ms. Roll?
Yes.
I did not understand what you were just talking about.
So,
I need to know.
So, the Historic Preservation Commission in town, the certificate of appropriateness, you may have been working on the application for the meeting.
Yeah, I did want already to do the repairs on the front.
Right. So, previously, I believe when we would make a recommendation, or I'm sorry, a motion, we would include the stipulation if it was in the historic district that it go to HPC. But that isn't determinant of us. That's already something that has to happen. So that's why we discussed in a previous meeting that we didn't need to say that anymore.
Okay.
But because it's in the staff report, I wanted to get it on the record that we understood we didn't need to make that.
I got you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, being technical up here. Okay. Yeah. So motion passes. Mm-hmm. So we will go to number 6 on the agenda. It's a variance. Joseph Perry, 304 Bowen Street, St. Mary's, is requesting a variance to reduce the side setback to 7.5 feet. The property is zoned R1. Would we get a staff report?
This was a little challenging for us to be able to process, but I wanted to bring it before you. He does not have a survey of his property, and he does not have the lines identified to determine where his property line is to have his building storage unit set back. Thus, if you approve this, we will make him do a lot inspection report to determine where his side setback line is to make sure that he is within the 10 feet. I don't have a problem with this application, and staff recommends approval because he has stated previously that he was not going to lay, it was not going to be a concrete pad underneath it.
So
it was going to be up on cinder blocks.
Okay.
So staff does recommend approval. But he will have to come back for a lot inspection report to be able to determine where his pens are, side lot lines, because we have absolutely nothing to go on.
I'm sorry. I want to be clear on your recommendation right now, because the request was for 7.5, but the recommendation as I read it was that because there was no survey, that it would be that you recommended 10, the department recommended 10 feet. Are you saying if he still had to get a survey, that the 7.5 would not be approved?
We're recommending approval of a setback to 10 feet.
Regardless of the lot lines?
Well, either way, whether you decide whether it's 7.5 or 10, mm-hmm. we have to be able to determine where side lot line is through 10s mm-hmm. in order to determine where he's placing the building.
I think I'd like to understand why 10, because my understanding was the 10 was because we didn't know where the lot lines were. Why?
It was more of a safety measure, but you can take it to 7.5 if you would like.
If we get the safety measures addressed by finding lot lines.
But it's part of the stipulation that he get a lot inspection report and have it surveyed so we can determine where his side lot line is.
Okay. Is Mr. Perry here or somebody representing? Okay. Thank you. Would you like to speak? And would you say your name?
My name's Joseph Perry. I live at 304 Bowen Street. I'm purchasing a portable building, doing a home remodel, and then in the middle of that, we inherited a household worth of stuff. So I need a storage site that's later going to be repurposed at outdoor living hangout. My home is built 15 feet from the property line on your plat. All right? There's a pin that looks like a pipe hammered in the ground that, although I would not state definitively if a surveyor came that that's it or not, but that pin is in direct line with my side fence, and it is 15 feet from the house. All right? I do not have a surveyor's statement saying that. She's right, but the city did approve it 15 feet from the property line. So in my view, if you take half of that and go back towards the fence, there's a 7.5. All right? You can do math and look at what the city's approved during the build and tell that I'm in the ballpark, all right? I chose 7.5 feet in that there was, you know, discussion with the new homeowner association type ordinance that was going to go to 5 feet. I felt that gave me 2.5 foot of error, and it sounds like we're looking for another 2.5 foot. It is my concern. I don't want the building blocking my back porch view of the backyard. I also have recently torn out a huge play area for my children. They grew up and moved out. I'm trying to repurpose that piece of land. But if you go out to 10 feet, what you're doing is going into my irrigation system. All right? I'm trying to repurpose the area that I've already been using without impacting it and going and altering that. I also had a permit request because it exceeds 200 square feet. It's 12 by 32. I didn't hear that discussion here. I don't know if that comes to this table or if it's done.
My understanding is that you didn't need a permit until you tried to put electric or water into it. Is that correct?
Over 200 square feet it requires.
Yeah. Right.
So over 200 square feet, which is where we are, we're in that window whether I put electricity in it today or not.
Right.
Now this is this is the request for the variance, which you're talking about goes through during the building permit phase. So this is the beginning of it, asking for the variance, and then you will...
I need a building permit to lay a portable building?
Yes.
That comes after.
That was submitted with the application also, right?
No, the variance has to come first and the building permit comes second. You cannot do them simultaneously.
Okay. I purchased the building. You know, I'm trying to make this all work. I've spoke to my neighbors all the way around. They're all happy with it. They're going to be playing darts and pool with me once this thing's done. All right. It would positively impact my yard if I can do this. Thanks.
Okay. Anybody from the public who'd like to speak?
Okay, I'm Philip Jones, 201 Catherine Street. I'm his adjacent neighbor, and I own my primary residence is along his backyard, and then I own the lot that's on his side yard. He's been my neighbor for 21 years. We've had a privacy fence down the property line, what I know to be the property line. I hadn't had it surveyed either, but it's been there way for 21 years, pin to pin. And so I think, I don't have an issue with it being 7.5 feet. I understand, you know, we've talked about it, good neighbors and all, and I have no issue with it whatsoever. And, you can tell by looking where the fence, unless you just assume that the fence is not on the property line, I mean, you can look there and get a pretty definitive view of what the actual property lines are. And so the side yard that he's going to be asking a variance for is on a vacant lot. So it doesn't, you know, it's not going to be like...
This is on John Burton's side.
Oh, the other side?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's the one by my back porch.
Okay.
John's going to be there,
the next too. Next-door neighbor.
Well, if I could speak for John Burton.
So I wish he was here. I don't know if he emailed you. I know there was an option given for that. But he's satisfied with it, too.
So for the, I guess this is having to do with use, but I do have a question with process. At any point for the building permit, would he need to get a survey of the property? It's going to have to happen for the survey of the property anyway.
It has to happen.
I mean, the survey has to happen for the building permit anyway.
It will have to happen as a stipulation of this, or it will have to happen when he gets a building permit. Because there's no way that we can determine where the lot lines are arbitrarily.
Right. So I just wanted to say that because that was my understanding as well. So that it didn't sound like a hardship if that's what we considered to do. The replace on you, it's going to be something that's required.
Standard operating procedure for swimming pools, for accessory structures, for many, many, many things within the city.
You can't go off the a builder's plat for the subdivision?
No, you can't. You got to have a survey. That's one thing that I will stand firm on. I think we've let people get away without doing surveys in the past, and it's hurt us.
And
I'm in favor of the 7.5 foot. I don't have an issue with that at all. But if you want to bend that setback, you got to get a survey. They're not $650, by the way. They're not. They're about $300.
Well, I just paid that much in Mississippi for one.
And let's not have a discussion though. But the one thing that I also want to bring up too is that we look at variances based on hardships, and I appreciate I smiled because I thought that sounds like a lot of fun, what we're trying to do. And again, I don't have an issue with 7.5 feet, but it's something to consider too, that the sprinkler system is not something that's a hardship in this instance, because it's something that was put in that I assume you said you put it in. Yeah, so I just wanted to make that clear too, that we're looking at a space, and what we're considering for the amount of a setback is based on really what works, what you would like to have done.
Sure. I appreciate that. The last thing, when you talk about a hardship, and nothing's hard. I got a big lot. You don't want to set the house in the middle of the lot. If you look at my back porch and put this building here, that makes a big L, and that open area is going to be the cornhole, mess with area. If you put the thing in the middle of my back porch, it blocks the blue of the backyard, view of the backyard, and takes away that real estate. I acknowledge I'm not trying to move granite rock or anything.
But I personally think it makes sense, but I wanted to say it because it is worth noting. I think in this instance, for me, I saw the plan and it looks like it makes sense, but I did want to acknowledge the hardship piece of it.
Can I speak one more time here?
Sure.
This thing requiring a survey, I mean, we're in a subdivision that's been there for going on 30 years. The existing fence lines have been there for over 25 years. And to require him to go spend even $200 to get a survey, all they're going to do is come out and look at the corner post and drive a pin. And, I mean, that it's just more layers on the onion you're putting on, things for people to get stuff done. All the neighbors, if the neighbors haven't complained, and he went around and talked to his neighbors, made sure everything was okay. I just don't understand why you sit there and say, well, anything like that, we got to require a survey, instead of looking at the case by case that it's in an existing neighborhood. Now, if it was all open lots with no fences, I understand that, but these fences have been there for damn near 30 years.
No, I appreciate your comment. Yes, ma'am. Can you say your name and your address?
Hi. So I'm the spouse.
Okay.
Sorry for getting late. So when you go to the Camden site, it shows you literally what they would come out and survey.
Those are not accurate at all. They're not. They're proven not to be accurate.
And it says it at the bottom of it that it's not. It's more of just to give you a lay of the land. I think there's a disclaimer at the bottom.
It's pretty.
I understand. Yeah.
But arbitrarily looking at lines on a computer and then translating those arbitrary lines to actually going out into the field, I don't know how you can do that without a survey. And the way that they do it is they take the legal description of the survey, and they would survey the one side down the property to make sure that you can meet the. Put two pins and say, this is your side setback, and that's all that's required. We're not asking for a survey of the entire property. The city is asking for a survey on one side of the property.
Any other public comment? And I'd like to close public comment at this time and look to the board for further discussion or a motion.
I move to approve pending survey.
To which setback?
To 7.5 foot. I'm in favor of the 7.5 foot.
Okay.
We want to make sure it is 7.5 foot.
I'll second the motion, but I'm going to make a comment.
That's during the discussion. Would you like to have a discussion?
Yes.
Okay.
Looking at New Zoning and what we've gone through, we've talked about a 7.5 foot setback. So I see no reason not to give and that's what we're working on with it. I know it hadn't passed yet.
But it's within.
I know it will pass, but it's something we're looking at, so I have no problem with it.
And regardless of the proposed zoning ordinance, this is something that's within our purview to make a decision on, is what the distance is. So I just want to, any more discussion?
Your decision should not be based on an ordinance that has not been passed. It should be based on what's currently.
Well, that's what I just said, is that it's within our our authority to make a decision of 7.5, regardless of what is out there. I'll pose the question then. All in favor?
We need a second.
Oh.
Why a second?
Okay, sorry, I missed the session there.
Yeah, and then he said, I'll second and make
and
a discussion.
Okay.
Yeah. So all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so the motion passes.
Thank you.
At this time, we'll look to grant audience to the public. I do want to make a comment in advance that if it has to do with the proposed zoning ordinance, that's the public comment on that has closed, and that tonight would not be a legal, it would not be considered public comment on the topic, but we certainly are granting audience, or granting audience to the public. So the same thing applies. Please say your name and your address if you would like to speak.
So we can't comment on anything on the proposed planning and zoning?
Even though
public comments are put in, I mean, we're here tonight, can we say anything? Valerie's
yes.
House, 310 West Bryant?
Okay, yes.
Okay, so we can talk.
You can talk, but it's not going to go into the public comment record on the top, it won't be entered into public record on because it's closed, but we can certainly listen tonight.
Okay, yes. But we're still on your tape there.
You are.
You're on the, yes.
Okay.
So it's just not if you wrote something and handed it to us, it doesn't go get posted onto the website under the public comment for that. Yeah.
Actually, go ahead.
So, you said it wrong?
Well, you're supposed to advertise public comment for a particular thing, and this
we
was
can
not grant advertised. We can grant audience.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I was just making sure because I was under there. Yeah, in case anybody wanted to talk about that it would not be considered public comment.
We can't. Yeah,
Yeah, so I don't, that's, did I get that wrong?
No, that's okay.
Yes, sir.
I have a comment. My name is Paul Heidrich. I live at 100 North River Oaks Court, St. Mary's. I have a concern about the dog park. I assume that's under city maintenance. I hope I'm right. I think they do cut the grass. The storms last year damaged a number of tall pine trees there in the dog park. And there's at least 3 or 4 trees now. Not all are still living. Some are, some are dead. And they're leaning. So I'm concerned that it's a real danger if a person or perhaps their dog were to go under there and the tree finally decides to give in to gravity and fall, there could be a really bad accident looming there. And I understand city funds have been curtailed of recent, but perhaps something could be done to get a chainsaw or whatever on those trees and bring them down, at least within the dog park.
Okay.
Thank you.
I will get that to Public Works.
Thank you. Ms. Thompson's going to pass that word to the Public Works.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Jim Goodman, 309 Morrell Boulevard. First of all, thank you. You have a hard job, and it's multifaceted, but I want you to listen to what you did earlier in terms of a gentleman wanting to do something with his property, and you had a great deal of concern about parking spaces and handicapped parking spaces. I'm sort of a gerontologist. I've worked in nursing homes and the Division for Aging for many, many years, and I'm very concerned about access to handicapped parking spaces and access to our sidewalks. And at the same time, I hear you you know, putting the net through the eye of a needle or whatever that expression is with this gentleman, you go downtown and look at what's being done with the parking places in this new revised planning that we have, and you're destroying a number of parking places. We don't have enough parking places to begin with down there. We don't have enough handicapped parking places. So I urge you to take another look at that plan and just count the parking spaces as they exist now. Look how inadequate it is on an average day. And then think about what it's going to be when you reduce and start making all of that chicane that you're going to make with St. Mary Street and putting up barriers. And look at how those barriers are going to be negotiated by people with impaired mobility. And think about what you're saying to individuals, but what you're doing for yourself. Now, I'm going to say, but that seems to fit a pattern with the city of St. Mary's of recent. We're catching a lot of grief as individual property owners. The city, in the same vein, is not paying attention to what they're doing. I will tell you, I've lived in several different communities. I've lived in a very upscale community, Mount Dora, Florida, if you know anything about that. The number of city vehicles with people riding around them in this town is absolutely insane. I'm out here by 7 o'clock every morning. We pick up paper in this town. We pick up litter and put it in the correct receptacles. I've actually never read it, but I think on every beer can and every cigarette pack it says, when you're through with this, throw it in the street. And that's what we're picking up.
Are you referring to the Shrimp Project?
If that's the name for what's going on with the streets.
The downtown, the St. Mary's Project?
Yes. Yeah, take a look at that plan, Ms. Ross, very carefully. Count the number of parking places.
So let me just kick this back. That plan, the plat and the planning has already passed through this board before, because it wasn't on it when it happened, so I'm assuming that it happened.
I don't know. I think it's already passed before any of us were here, but
engineers are still working on it.
But one of the stipulations of the Shrimp Project is everything has to be ADA compliant.
Okay, so hopefully that will address
ADA compliance for van accessible, handicapped parking spaces, all of them.
So hopefully that addresses.
ADA compliance is the letter of the law. Mm-hmm. The intent of the law, when you're looking at the aged population that we're trying to attract and the type of people we're attracting, the letter of the law may not necessarily address the problems that we're facing. We're an aging group in this town. That needs to be looked at very carefully. It's not adequate. Our sidewalks are not adequate. We have businesses that are right on the sidewalk. If they put anything in their business front, somebody in a mobility chair cannot negotiate it. Yeah. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
My dear friend,
hi.
John Collins. So please look at that.
Thank you.
Look at it very carefully. And the thing, the point that I was making, I didn't finish it, is every morning, the most of the vehicles on this street are white fleet vehicles. There's an awful lot of riding and looking, and they look, sometimes they're very, very thorough in the way they look at things. They stare at it sometimes for 30 seconds and then drive on. That's not this committee, not this group, but that's the bigger picture for the city of St. Mary's. And it is not right for us to pay for that kind of overkill for the number of vehicles versus the man hours of work that are applied to it.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to me.
Oh, thank you. Anybody else?
I'd like to speak. Phil Jones, 201 Catherine Street. I know you guys are still, are you put the final tweaks on the zoning ordinance yet?
No.
I wanted to talk about enforcement of the thing. And I know that there's, you know, a vehicle, you know, for fines and things like that, tickets, citations, whatever. But I think for businesses that do not fall within the guidelines and don't meet the requirements for the zoning ordinance, and I'm going to call a spade, just like Heavenly Treasures up the road with all the debris and the toilets and the mattresses outside, that's against the zoning ordinance that's in effect right now, okay? And there's been no enforcement on that. I would say that there needs to be a vehicle to where you tie that into their business license, where if you issue a citation and they ignore it and they don't correct it, then they don't get issued a business license. I mean, I own some property down in Mississippi, and if I don't pay like my waste bill or whatever quarterly, they won't even let me renew my boat tag or whatever. I mean, it's all tied together, you know, and you basically lose your rights for, you know, city permits and things like that if you're, you know, in some kind of a violation of ordinances or whatever. And I'd like to see, you know, that brought up. I don't know if you know, that's like, you know, they don't want to touch that for, you know, liability, legal liability reasons or whatever. But what I see going on, you know, especially with the new, you know, building inspector or whatever running around, is, you know, the residents are being held to a stricter standard. I would think that that would be the number one priority that the new building inspector or zone or code enforcement would be attacking right now. And I would expect that if the guy got hired a month ago, that 2 weeks ago that would have been starting to get cleaned up there. And I don't see it getting cleaned up. In fact, I see stuff getting added to it on a daily basis. And the thing about outside, you know, display of wares, you know, there's a whole big difference between some nice coastal looking artwork outside and, you know, a half a dozen mattresses that have been out in the rain and the mud for a year and toilets sitting out in the front, you know, and so, and you need to recognize that, you know, so it doesn't encumber the business people trying to make a, you know, an honest dollar. You know, I don't, it doesn't bother me to go past Uniques by the Sea and see their wares, but there's a problem at Heavenly Treasures when it's, you know, basically an outdoor flea market for junkyard. And you know, you guys need to call a spade and take action on it. And I think, you know, that's what, you know, a lot of the citizens in St. Mary's see, is they see just blatant disregard for some, you know, violators, and then other violators are getting hammered.
Thank you. Carter, just a process question. Is the workload of the code enforcement person, is it based on people submitting primarily, or is it based on code enforcement visually seeing it themselves?
Both. And we are currently working with all businesses, Treasures of Camden included. Yes. The fire department and the code enforcement officers are working to get those buildings and areas cleaned up in 2 code. The way that the C2 code reads is that everything has to be under roof, and we are currently working with them. It is not a process that happens overnight. You don't go in with guns a-blazing, and it's a process, and it takes time, but it's currently under the process. In regards to certificates of occupancy are not issued in the city unless every single department signs off, including code enforcement.
Okay.
And so if there are current, if there are code enforcement issues on the current property, they do not get a certificate of occupancy. If it's a current business that is operating, if they come in for an occupational license, they will not get an occupational license if they have code enforcement issues. So that is a standard practice with the city and something that's currently being enforced.
I take offense to the guns a-blazing comment. Mm-hmm. That's I mean, you know, I didn't infer.
It was an analogy that I made because it is something that has to happen within a specific time frame.
One question I have is I presume that we do not have the ability, as we are reviewing a proposal that's coming to us, to say to a property owner, we will not approve this request when you have another property that's out of compliance?
No, it has to be the specific property that we're talking about. So if someone else comes in for whatever permit, we cannot deny them based on another property. It is illegal.
Because we have a specific criteria
that's being considered, correct.
I feel like we did that, though, for a road, saying that they had to finish a road that wasn't done before.
That was
built
wrong.
Okay.
I just was curious because I was like, we did sort of put a...
It was something that was predetermined.
Yes.
Yeah, that was Quality Road. Bill Gross was the builder. He had a development and... The road ended at the auto store, and the rest of it was dirt.
Okay. I was just trying to remember what we did that for. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me finish, too.
Okay.
Sure. But, and another thing, too, like you know, this gentleman that wanted to, you know, start a little, you know, what he was trying to do. I understood exactly what he was trying to do. But up and down 40, you've got, like, a business up there where you can't walk between the cars. They're stacked in like cordwood. On a little on a lot that there's no way it meets the parking requirements for a business, and I've seen that up there for 20 years, and I guess until somebody complains about it, nothing's going to get done about it. Yet the guy that's coming in here wants to park 3 or 4 cars. You know, now he's got to spend the money to stripe the parking lot, restripe it, or whatever. You know, the requirement you were going to put on him, and That's just the thing that bothers me about this new zoning enforcement or code that's, you know, you're trying to, you know, get voted in, is you know, the lack of enforcement. And again, you know, I mentioned it two or three times. You know, I don't see any teeth in the enforcement of it, and you know, other than, you know, reactionary to complaints instead of being proactive about it. You know, Public Works is another issue too, but you know, they're more reactionary than proactive. But that's what needs to happen here, in my opinion.
Thank you. Any other comments? Yes, sir.
Mike Rickenberg, 500 Ann Street. Mine along those lines, but my question is, does the enforcement officer have any control over different items that the city is in violation? If you go downtown and walk along the street, you're going to find a number of electrical plugs that do not have covers on them. Rain's falling down on them. The water piles up around them. And yet, here's these plugs just waiting for somebody to step in and be electrocuted. On the boat dock, there's open water. There's wires that are just capped off. I don't know if they're a hot wire or a cold wire, because I'm not going to unscrew the caps and check it. But there's two spots there with caps that's right at my grandkid's height. And I know my grandson, he'll peel them off and he'll, you know, touch them.
Which boat dock are you referring to?
The Long Pier, the fishing pier.
The Gateway, or no, are you talking off of Howard Gilman Park?
No.
No, he's talking about Lines.
Right out of the park there, by the pavilion.
The fishing pier.
It's the Gateway?
No, I think it's on the Gilman Park.
In the Gilman Park.
It's the fixed pier between the floating dock and the pavilion, the bandstand.
Okay, okay. Is that, so my understanding downtown is that the lamps are actually owned by Oki Funoki. Are the electrical outlets also owned by Oki Funoki, or are they the city?
It would
be something that would have to check on. I have no idea.
Can you
sure, but I can check on this.
Sir, Carter will follow up with the Public Works on that as well.
And the other concern is, I looked it up. Grass has to be kept down below, I think, 8 inches or something like that. And yet everywhere I go in town, on the city side, it's 18 inches or taller. The Gilman Park, the dock is, I mean, we have hundreds of visitors every week walking through there. And my wife works for Langs, and they're asking, what is wrong here? What happened to your town? Your grass is growing, the trash is blowing all around, and you got orange stuff everywhere. And, you know, these people visit other cities and small towns like us, and they're saying, you know, you guys can say the hurricane did this, but why am I going to these other coastal towns, and they look beautiful? And here we are, almost a year later, and we've still got the cones and the barrels and you know, just all the stuff. And, you know, we can only explain so much away. When you only say, well, it's taking time, it's doing this or whatever. And at some point, we're just going to have to confess up and say, look, we just don't care. Because that's basically what it is. You know? So, thank you very much. You guys are doing a good job. You got a tough job.
Thank you.
If I may answer about the cones in regards to the damage from the storm, we're waiting on the release of funds. The FEMA funds have come through, but we're waiting on the release of the FEMA funds for the boat dock and to rebuild those areas back down there to be released from the state. There's nothing that we can do to make that faster, and there is nothing that we want more than to have that money released so we can go ahead and start construction. But it has not been released from the state.
Rob Moore, 509 Westgate Circle. To that, ma'am, so I understand FEMA money, get it repaired, get it rebuilt, but you're going to take on possible liability of a kid taking 110? If they stick their fingers in?
Oh, no, I think she's talking about the cones and the orange fencing.
It's going to stay broke until we get federal money.
No, sir. Just to be clear, she said she's going to follow up with Public Works about the outlets. She was referring to the cones and the barricade, the orange fencing, but thank you. You're still going to this.
I have a question, and then I have a recommendation, which I'm not sure if it would really be your guys' cup of tea. So my first question is, I reside in Crooked River, and I was told that before my time of becoming a resident here, that was a subdivision that was maintained, had an HOA, so the drainage and the roads. Where I'm at, the road is inverted, so it's a big asphalt ditch. That said, the asphalt is actually on top of my driveway when it was poured. So I have about a 4 to 6 inch berm of asphalt than my driveway because it goes underneath. That means every time it rains, I have at least 6 inches of standing water. It actually is enough to come up over the concrete footing of the power clamshell. And so, just my concern is, once again, if we have another storm, is it going to be enough to swamp that transformer? So today, the water department was out checking their meters, and I asked the gentleman, how can I go about possibly grinding that or having that assessed? Because that issue, I see multiple places around that circle, Westgate Circle, where the asphalt actually is on top of the concrete driveway. So the driveway was there first. Then my other, then a proposal, like I said, I'm not sure if you guys are the right.
Can I speak to that one first?
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm sorry, Crooked Road, did you say it was a planned development?
That's what I've heard. I mean,
I'm just right. Wondering because sometimes.
I don't know the history.
I can give you a little bit of history on it.
That's fine. I'm open to it.
Okay. When Westgate Circle was designed, the thought was an inverted drainage plan instead of putting ditches on each side of the road.
Understand.
That's why it's inverted to drain down the middle of the street.
Right.
To drain out. It never was a homeowner association. Now.
Okay.
Never was. And that's pretty much the basis of it. I used to live on Westgate Circle also.
Okay. Well, I'm in the 500 block, so you decide to come in and you take a left and go the short way around. I'm on the far side from the entrance, and like I said, with that having that berm or the just the mounding up of the asphalt to get that incline, it causes a backup of the water. It's gone so far that I've had to go and input my own sump pump to pump it up over that. A little PVC pipe and a fish aquarium pump will do wonders if you leave it running long enough. But I guess to kind of piggyback on my ingenuity, my question or proposal that I would like to, like I said, I'm not sure if you're the right conduit for this, but I like to think I'm a coin-operated, entrepreneurial-type work ethic kind of guy. It seems like we don't have enough city workers, so could there be a proposal? Call it freelancing. I don't know. I floated this one out there on my free time. I approach the city and say, you know what, I'm going to take this track, this road, the median or the sides and the ditches and culvert. How long would that take your city workers to maintain that, to do one maintenance, however the periodicity is? And if I get it knocked out, be it faster or slower than them, I get paid, say it takes 1 man hour, so you pay me 1 man hour of your hardworking, oh-so-fast city workers. But I'm pretty sure that with the spirit and the work ethic, I could bang out a whole lot more mileage than they do just in my off time. I'm just trying to think of out of the box because, it's one of these, people used to maintain the medians and they would mow and they would keep up their own ditches. Well, that's cool and fine. I understand the spirit. But when I have to make sure my escrow is right to give you my taxes, well, then I'm like, well, why am I doing that? So I'm just thinking of a way that, hey, maybe not pay me. How about I just keep a credit and you offset my water bill? Or you give me a credit on my taxes. I'm just trying to think because I have some downtime. I got time to stand here and try to be a motivated taxpayer. So I can get out there. I mean, I'm on a less than a quarter lot, but if that was on the books, I'd go and buy me a rod mower, and I have that paid within 6 months, no problem.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the contracting or incentivizing would be or who the right person would be.
It's just an idea. Like I said, I'm not sure if you're the right contract.
If you're being serious, though, I would like to answer your question. Yeah,
you can say it's mowing or you can say it's clearing.
So we do have a councilman here who...
Let me just jump in. My name's Bob Nutter. I do sit on the city council. And a number of these issues that I've heard here towards the close of this meeting are much better addressed at the city council.
Okay.
City council, next city council meeting is 6 o'clock on Monday, July 2nd.
I understand.
I invite you to come and bring your issue forward there.
Well, I won't bring my hard hat next time.
I thought I recognized
it. Yeah, this big kid, you can't hide.
I didn't see your safety harness right. And everything like that. But bring it up there.
Okay.
Because you have then the city manager that's there.
Okay.
You have the public works director or a representative there. You have the finance department or a representative there. So you have the police department, even though we have Chief Hatch. But you have the police department as well. They can address these concerns in a more appropriate space than what the Planning Commission can do right now. The best that they can do for you is take notes that may get transferred or transcribed incorrectly or not correctly expressed or more completely express your concern.
Okay.
Whereas if you're at a city council meeting, you've got resources that are there to do that. So again, let me just throw it out there, 6 o'clock, July 2nd, in the brand new, recently refurbished, or mostly refurbished, council chambers. It would be much better to address some of these concerns.
Thank you.
Well, I thought I floated out since you guys are planning, so maybe you guys could plan it to spark the entrepreneurial spirit of the younger bloods out here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Yes, sir.
I have a prepared statement.
Sir, can I get your name and address?
All right. Well, my name is William Holmes.
Wait, sir, can we get your name?
My name is Billy.
Sir, can you state your name?
He just
did. I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Okay.
Because you were talking.
All right, I'll do it again.
William
Holmes. Hello, my name is William Holmes, Jr. I live on Bryant Street. I have been listening to people comment on this proposed zoning ordinance now for over a month. I have seen where 89% of the residents in a poll totally dislike it. I have seen where 7% think it still needs to be worked on. I have seen that only 3.4% actually like the existing ordinance that y'all are writing up. That's 3 people out of 100 like the form zoned ordinance. Now, let me tell you a little about myself. I grew up here in St. Mary's since 1959 on Bryant Street. I moved from 109 to 111. Big move. But when you inherit the property, you don't throw it away. My family has been in this town since the 1800s. My great-grandfather built the wall around the cemetery. He was the town block mason. My great-uncle started the phone company here and was a mayor at one time for 14 years, 1926 to 1940. I have studied government and law since 1977 when I entered college. I then taught government and law at our local high school for 30 years and college for 2 years. During that time, I also got a master's degree in public administration, so I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. I have observed the First Amendment rights of the residents be totally ignored by y'all and the council. The right to petition the government was so important to our founding fathers, they put it in our First Amendment, right next to religion, speech, and press, and assembly. They did that in 1787 when they were writing the Constitution. They felt the government should respond in a positive manner to the reasonable wishes and wants of the people, unlike what King George III had done. It is a good thing we no longer live under a king. I feel this petition is not an unreasonable request by the residents here. What is unreasonable is what the board wants to do to the residents of St. Mary's. We have a government that is for the people, by the people, and of the people. I would like to know why a poll showing 89% of the residents totally against this ordinance be continued and written and enforced on us. I am also concerned about seeing some of the cities that have this in the state of Georgia, how they have given their code enforcement officer more power than our own law enforcement. My son is a state law enforcement officer. When he goes on someone's property, he has to have a warrant. Code enforcement officer doesn't. How does a code officer have the right to enter onto a property of a person without a warrant signed by a magistrate? Consent of the owner or without probable cause based on a statement of a third party? Because how can he justify his trespassing when there are no code violations? This is a direct violation of my Fourth Amendment rights. I do feel that due to the total and complete ignoring of the wishes of the residents of the city, that they will in fact exercise another constitutional right of civil lawsuit against this city. The Seventh Amendment grants the people the right to sue in civil court if they feel their rights are being violated. The state of Georgia even has a specific law granting the right of the individual to sue in zoning cases. And it states, the presumption that a government zoning decision is valid can be overcome by a plaintiff, the landowner, showing the clear and convincing evidence that the zoning classification is a significant detriment to him and is insubstantial related to the public health, safety, morality, and welfare. Only after both of these showings are made is a governing authority required to come forward with evidence to prove it. With what this city can expect is about 8,000 different lawsuits in conjunction with this ordinance. The only person that may end up profiting from this is the city attorney for his legal fees in court. You're going to make him a millionaire. I have seen where 15 out of the 19 cities that have passed this are in the metro Atlanta area. That's 63% of the state's population. We have nothing in common with Atlanta other than being in the state of Georgia. There are so many parts of this new ordinance I do not like, it's not funny. The parking of my vehicles in my yard, how I landscape my yard, if I allow my cousin to come here and sleep in their RV in my yard. Do you really think the city should have the right to tell someone what kind of flowers and trees to plant in their yard? What happened to the premise that a man's home is his castle? It is evident if this zoning passes, that is thrown out the window. Now, if it passes and people are in fact harassed by the code enforcement officer, forced to appear in court to answer the charges, I feel the residents will in fact exercise their 26th Amendment rights and vote out the city council members that vote to approve this measure. You then may be forced to step down as a new council will have the right to sit a new board. You're not appointed for life. Only one group of individuals is appointed for life, and that's federal judges. Please do not approve this or pass this new ordinance. It is a bad thing for St. Mary's. I know I've lived here since 1959. You're only asking for trouble if you do.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to speak?
I have a question. When is the proposed ordinance going to council?
We don't know.
We don't know. The next work session is scheduled July 11th.
Okay.
And that's for us to continue the work that we, you know, I don't know if you were at the last one, but we were.
No, I've been out of town for a while.
We were going through pretty much line by line and working on it. Yes, sir. Could you say your name and your address? I'm sorry. Thank you.
Is the total ordinance going to be sent in as a package, and y'all going to do it piecemeal by what y'all?
That's something that'll have to be decided through the meetings, the work session, and we haven't gotten there yet. We're still working on language.
Only thing I'm worried about is y'all coming in an agreement on some type of ordinance to send on to the council for approval, which is partial of the total ordinance, like it might be for HOA's small lot size. Y'all might approve that as far as small lot size and wait and approve the rest or discuss or do away with what's later. How is the fact that, in other words, y'all gonna send it in as one big package or just one?
We're working on it right now. I can't answer any question to do with the zoning because of how it's gonna be sent because we're still working on the draft.
Okay.
If you look at the website, I believe that the marked up version from our last working meeting is there. So you can see line by line, we've been working through. There have been some changes made. There were things that were voted on. There were things that we said, you know, it needs more work and were essentially tabled.
Okay.
So we really,
I can't, we can't answer.
We're still
your question.
Working
on
this.
We can't take questions on that.
Yeah, sorry. To go back to where I started, this is public comments, not on the agenda. But we can, if the granting to the audience, if we're not going to answer questions, but we can certainly listen to if somebody would like to talk. And I'm sorry, I am new at this, and the chairman's supposed to say if we could keep our comments to 5 minutes so that everybody gets a chance. So I do want to say that because everybody's pretty much kept it to 5 minutes, but moving forward, that we do honor that time allowance.
Valerie Fouts, 310 West Bryant. I guess I was under the impression several meetings back when the last of the public comments were was cut off June 7th. So if you're still going to, June 8th. So if you're still tweaking and having work sessions, does that mean that we're going to be able to have public comments again? Because you may be doing some really stuff that we would really like to comment on.
So that, as Carter just advised us, we're not able to answer questions on it because this wasn't an agenda item. And I totally understand that for the fairness that this wasn't advertised, that it would have to do with proposed zoning. So we didn't, people didn't come here for that topic and we didn't come, we're not able to speak to it.
Okay, I guess I kind of had the same concern there too, that it's kind of like if we don't hear about it and it kind of gets calmed down for a while, are we going to wake up one day and like, oh yeah, it was piecemealed a little bit and this went through? That's concerning to me.
Well, just keep in mind that it goes to City Council. We don't have the authority to pass this, so we're doing our process on this. It gets handed off. That's where the decision will actually be made, and our working sessions are related to trying to take what we got in public comment and take appropriate action based on what we heard from folks.
Kind of a question again.
I'm going to have to stop questions on this.
This is the public comments that people put in up until June 8th. A lot of them have not been posted. So why?
Because the file's too big. We can't upload it. So we're working with IT to get it uploaded.
So are you all able to see them?
We.
Because I sent them about 70 emails.
Yeah, because I've had a lot of people asking, I think
we're working on
it.
Our IT has been overwhelmed with this AV upgrade, so as soon as she has a minute, we'll get that uploaded.
Okay.
And we're working on cleaning up the website too and reducing the information on it so it's more concise. So
now, Ms. Fouts, if somebody's asking, if you would let them know that it's being worked on, if you're hearing that, but I don't know who had it first. So.
Go ahead. Do I need to restate, or you got me?
Just your last name one more time.
Moore.
Okay.
Mr. Warner, when you said the last working revision, is that the one June 15th revision that is online?
Answering questions. But yeah.
I'm asking a question about what he stated.
I know from our last meeting that the marked up version of that has been posted.
Okay.
So the most current information is there. This isn't really discussing it. It's just making sure citizens know where to look.
Can you answer Jones? In the ordinances, there's like lawful nonconformance and unlawful nonconformance for structures and buildings. I think, and this is just a suggestion, we moved to St. Mary's for the ambiance and the small little fishing town and all that, coastal town. And so it really doesn't bother me that a guy's got two boats on his side yard or shrimp nets hanging from his porch or whatever. I don't care. Within reason, I mean, as long as it's not a junkyard. But if you could put something in there that stated that there's a, like me as a property owner, if I choose to have two boats on the side of my house and they're in good working order, and they don't, present an eyesore. They don't necessarily have to be behind a buffer or whatever, because I'm here now and I've got the equipment now, and I'm in compliance with the existing ordinances that are in effect today. At least I'm pretty sure I am, because there's no limit on it. It doesn't affect me as a current property owner. Now, if you want to write ordinances that are going to affect people that come in the future and want to go to these tiny houses and clusters of houses and stuff like that, and put those kind of restrictions on their properties that they have yet to buy, I don't care about that. But I have a big problem with you coming back after I've been here 25 years, tell me, oh no, you can't do that anymore.
I remember you making that public comment during a public comment session.
So I mean, if you could make that, I don't think I did the non-conformance issue.
You did, I remember you did.
I mean, it seems to me if you can apply it to a structure, you can apply it to a personal residence, on landscaping, on fences, on whatever, And you'd have a whole lot less grief.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thank you. I do remember you saying that. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there any? Yes, sir. Yeah,
I just want to cut one of what he said. Jim Lee, 113 Bowen Street. You know, this is sort of a retirement community. We have a lot of people that, I've been here 38 years, retired from the military. I've got a lot of neighbors that are in the same age group, you know, 65 plus. And to have them put up a fence or put in a concrete pad when you're on a limited budget, that's a pretty heavy hit. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That takes some consideration.
Thank you.
So.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah. My name's Robert Roach. I live at 700 Margaret Street. I've only been here in St. Mary's for 18 years. I've been in Georgia for 29. I came down here from Cape Cod to Forsyth County, originally on the lake. On Cape Cod, there's 15 towns. All 15 towns outlaw having a boat in your yard. There isn't a house on Cape Cod that doesn't have a boat in their yard. I have a boat in my yard right now. Thank you. And if I wanted to live in a gated community, from what everything I've seen of this stuff, I have lived in a gated community up there in Forsyth County. I would have moved to a gated community. I'm deliberately here and stayed here in St. Mary's because it's not. We have neighbors who are all good neighbors, and they're all going to be pressed very hard with all these new rules that you want to put into place that I don't think it's nice. It's not nice.
What do you park the car?
Not in Harvard Yard.
Hey.
Parked it in Harvard Yard. You've gone through about six fences and you're under arrest.
Is there anybody else who
should have heard it about 10 years ago? I've been talking to Southern.
You've been
Southern.
Teaching
it? Yeah, Southern.
Make sure the Harvard Yard comment goes
into it. Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Okay. Well. Would we like to close? I'm going to close public comment. Thank you very much for coming and sharing with us tonight. And we could make a...
I'd be happy to make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Okay. Second?
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
See you next meeting.
See you next meeting.
With a red shirt.
6 o'clock.
I'm going to go. Found some doors.
Wow. Where's your